This podcast is part of the Robots Radio Rocket Club, a program designed to help all podcasts reach their full potential. For information about joining the Robots Radio Rocket Club, check out robotsradio.net.
Welcome to Wizarding World Lorecast, where we're going to take a deep dive into the world and lore of the Harry Potter universe, such as the creatures, the people, and yes, even the magic.
Welcome back, witches and wizards, to the Wizarding World Lorecast. I am one of your hosts, Ben of Temeria, and always with me is my good old other co-host, Nina.
Hey!
And, I just thought of this just now. I really need to change up that intro now. We've been doing this for over a year.
Ooh, I'll have to think of something.
Right? I need to look at new music, doing a different intro. Outro I'll probably keep the same. Maybe do some mid-break. The start mid-breaks. I might change that too. The ending mid-break's fine because I like the spell whipping.
I agree.
That's great.
I'm here for it. Yes.
But we are here with another topic I went over in the past. That we are redoing and tackling it with Nina here. Mm-hmm. And Nina, do you like the holidays?
Mostly.
Wizarding holidays?
Yeah, it's more magical. This last year was really hard on me for holidays. I couldn't get into it to save my life. And
that's fair. I'm the same way. My mom, she puts up 5 Christmas trees in a house for no apparent reason, and with all the effort that only a few people will see.
Yeah,
I don't understand. But anyway, that's just. I don't know if anybody else has parents like that who just
over-exaggerate like
on Christmas. Yep. But hey,
nope. If that's what you like, sure. I don't know. Usually I have I've at least one tree up. Sometimes we've had 2. Usually decorate. I just could not get into it this year. I struggled so hard. But normally I like the holidays, yes.
Okay. Well, that's fair. Hmm. So
yes.
With Christmas being, Christmas has passed. It's been almost a month now. We're recording this on the 24th. So it's been a month. But this week's episode, we are going over Christmas at Hogwarts yet again. And so to get right with it, I can't talk today, can I? My tongue is tying so much.
Stumbling.
Someone put a jinx on me, I swear. Mm-hmm. But for those who stayed at Hogwarts for the Christmas holidays, enchantment and extravagance awaited. Harry Potter had fond memories of spending Christmas at Hogwarts since he never had any fun with the Dursleys, which is a very... Yeah, who would have fun with the Dursleys?
Nobody.
When he and Hermione visited Godric's Hollow in December of 97, the carols coming from the church reminded him of the Peeves Bellarmine rude versions of carols from inside the suits of armor of the Great Hall's 12 Christmas trees, of Dumbledore's wearing a bonnet and that he won in a cracker, of Ron in a hand-knitted sweater.
Oh, sweet.
And you can actually find Peeves. Scaring people in suits of armor in Hogwarts Legacy. I don't think they did I don't remember, at least, him doing the carols during the Christmas time.
I don't remember catching him doing it, but I guess there is a chance. I mean, there was a lot to look at.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
In Hogwarts. So, if any of you know about him doing it, please let us know, because that's definitely something I don't know about.
Right. Professor McGonagall took a list of students who wished to stay for Christmas holidays during the second week of December. Their presents were piled in foot of their beds at their dormitories and would find them when they wake up in Christmas morning.
God, so sweet.
12 large decorated fir trees, mistletoe, and holly were among the decorations that Hagrid and the professors hoped put on the Great Hall during the Christmas holidays. Snow fell from the ceiling of the Great Hall, but unlike real snow, the snow was dry and warm. Around the castle, suits of armor were also enchanted to sing carols. The Christmas feast featured roast turkey, potatoes, chipotles,
Sure.
When I first saw this, I literally, my mind went straight to Chipotle. That's just me.
I think it's Chipolatas.
Chipolatas, yeah, Chipolatas. There we go. Peas, gravy, cranberry sauce, and flaming Christmas puddings. The staff might also enjoy wine with their meal. Wizard crackers exploded loudly and contained more impressive flavors than their Muggle counterparts, such as the proper hats and bonnets, live mice, and wizard chess sets.
Yeah. So Hogwarts just sounds like you think of this as like a magical Christmas experience. Hogwarts just puts it in an extravagant, flamboyant way that you just can't deny. And the movies, I don't even think the movies do it justice. Like,
no,
your imagination could just
I mean, the books do it justice.
Image of it. Oh yeah, the books too. And if you can just let your imagination run with it, like, that's phenomenal. And I just want to point out, leaving the presents at the foot of the bed for Professor McGonagall does, that's so sweet. So I am definitely the type of person, though, that will wake us up at the crack of dawn to open gifts.
Right.
Because that it's like my favorite thing to do. And then I don't care what we do after that. But it's like the one time that my family puts up with me waking them up at like 5:30, 6 o'clock.
Oh, like, I know. Doing presents. I used to do that so much when I was younger. Nowadays, I sleep. I just like sleep.
As an adult, I understand. But the one day a year, I just, it's Christmas. I just want the presents. I get my coffee made for me in the morning. It's a magical experience in its own way for me.
Fair
enough. That's all I got to say. Yeah.
So here's a bit of the history of Christmas in the Wizarding World. So in the 1970s, at some point prior to the 1970s, Herbert Bury proposed an adaptation of the Fountain of Fair Fortune as a Christmas treat for both the staff and students. The show, however, was a fiasco. The students playing Ameta and Sir Luckless had been boyfriend and girlfriend until 1 hour before the show, at which point Sir Luckless dumped her for Asha.
Oh, the drama.
Yeah. Yeah, just, oh boy. During the play, the engorged Ashwinder, portrayed the worm exploded, scattering rubble and setting fire to the floorboards, while Ameta and Asha started dueling fiercely. Professor Bury was caught in the crossfire, and his head assumed unusual proportions.
This would be a play to remember.
Oh, right. And then while the staff evacuated the Great Hall, the fire raging inside, it threatened to engulf the place. Of course, there were several people sent to the hospital wing, and Professor Umbridello Dippet had put Professor Severus Kettleburn in one of his 62 periods of probation in response to his dramatic fiasco. Professor Dippet imposed a blanket ban on future future performances. It's another word for it. Then we skip quite a bit of time to 1991. So Harry Potter and the Weasleys, Ron, Fred, and George, and Percy were among the students to stay at the holidays in 91. Among Harry's gifts was the year his father's invisibility cloak, given to him anonymously by Albus Dumbledore.
Yeah, famous invisibility cloak.
Shoot, I forgot to put... Oh, no.
Oh.
These show notes. I haven't revised too much, and I forgot to put a mid-break section in it.
Oops.
There we go. Then we have 1992. So in 1992, Harry, Ron, spared from expulsion by Headmaster Dumbledore for using the Flying Forward Angula to reach Hogwarts. Professor Snape's expression was described as though Christmas had been canceled. Because, just Snape really wanted Harry and Ron to be expelled so bad.
His fondest dream came blowing up in his face.
So, and then December of that year, Harry, Ron, and Hermione Granger stayed at Hogwarts so they could question Draco Malfoy to determine if he was the heir of Slytherin by disguising themselves as Slytherins with a Polyjuice potion.
Well, Hermione turns into a half-breed cat.
Yeah. Note to self, Polyjuice potion's not made for animal transformations.
It is not.
Period. Don't do this. Period. Don't try this at home, kids. Also, it takes what was it like? Take a
30 yeah, days.
No, it takes a month. Yeah, it takes a month yeah. just to brew the potion.
Yeah, it's very complicated.
Oh yes. And then now we have 1993. So in 93, Harry, Ron, and Hermione once again stayed at Hogwarts for the holidays. Harry received another anonymous gift, his Firebolt, which was eventually revealed to become from his Sirius Black, his godfather. Which is very different from what we get in the film. In the film adaptation. Yeah. Okay, I just got a random text message from my mom saying Gary Graham just passed away, who was in Star Trek, which I never watched Star Trek.
Why not?
I'm a Star Wars fan. I never got into Star Trek.
Oh, you can't cross into that stream.
No, I'm sorry. No. Sorry, anybody who likes Star Trek listening to the show. I'm not a Star Trekkie. But yeah, this is very different from what we get in the film. In the film of Prisoner of Azkaban, Harry gets his Firebolt at the end of the film. Literally at the very end. Where in the book, he gets it literally, like, not even to the halfway point
of Isn't the book. Isn't it also...
And he gets to use it against Slytherin. Now, literally when he got the Firebolt, it was taken from him almost immediately... by McGonagall and Flitwick, who were constantly... They did over, I think, 500 different charm checks and jinxes on it just to verify it wasn't going to kill him. And it was not jinx, not enchanted, nothing of the sorts, because Sirius wasn't remotely even trying to kill him. And the best thing was, like, when Harry... was able to actually use this in a Quidditch match. It was great.
Yeah. It's definitely the epitome of playing with your new toy.
Yeah, and especially really if you can use it against the house that you hate the most.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Though, I will say, though, the best moment in the book would have to be the Quidditch match that... So Draco, Crabbe, and Goyle... have their long robes on, and they try to, like, spook Harry as if they were Dementors. And they weren't. There was no Dementors in this Quidditch match like we see in the film. Harry straight up used Expecto Patronum against them, and they just freaking freaked out. And basically crapped their pants. That they shit their pants. It was hilarious. And McGonagall went off.
Yeah. Oh, that was a good moment of seeing her fury.
Yes. And you do not mess with Quidditch when it comes to McGonagall.
No.
She is a diehard Quidditch fan. Do not mess with the game with McGonagall in the room.
No. You don't want to mess with her, period, ever.
That's also true. So now we jump to 1994. So during the 1994-95 school year, Hogwarts held the Yule Ball for the Christmas holidays as part of the Triwizard Tournament. As a result, more students than usual stayed at Hogwarts for the holidays. The Great Hall was decorated differently than usual for the occasion, and the walls covered in silver frost and garlands of mistletoe and ivy.
So pretty.
It was gorgeous. Seeing this in film was awesome.
Yes. Now...
I am excited. Upcoming with, you know, the announcement of the Harry Potter reboot, like, TV series that they're planning on doing. And each season is going to, it's going to take over place over 10 years. And it's going to do all the books in their glorious detail.
Yes.
So hopefully, because the first season will be Sorcerer's Stone or Philosopher's Stone. Hopefully we'll actually get these, like, Christmas scenes.
I hope so. I hope they do them justice, too. Oof.
And they're supposedly supposed to be, like, one-hour episodes, supposedly. But who knows?
As they should be. Yeah, probably anywhere from, like, 50 to an hour, I would think. HBO is usually pretty good about doing that.
Yep. That is one good thing with HBO. That is true. Mm-hmm. None of the Game of Thrones episodes are short.
God, no, they weren't.
So we don't have to worry about that. Nope. But let us take our quick mid break here, and we'll be right back. All right, we are back, or we are now in the mid break. Gosh, I'm all out of the place today. Welcome to the mid break of the show, where we talk about everything with the podcast that has nothing to do with the lore. And here, I want to thank all of our listeners and supporters of the show. And if you want to support the show, there's a few options you can do. You can join us on patreon.com/WizardWorldLoreCast, where you can get ad-free episodes, or even join us on the end of the month of an episode of the topic of your choosing. You can also support us on Apple and Spotify. We leave a review on Apple with some words. We'll read out loud the next time on the show, as well as a Spotify comment with some nice words, which we don't have any this week, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. You can also find us on a few different Discord servers, the Robots Radio Discord at robotsradio.net, as well as my own Discord server, the Ben and Friends Podcasting, which those links are in the description below. And you can find us live on my Twitch channel at twitch.tv/Ben of Temeria, to where you can find us going live at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, and join us in live chat, to where you can join this chaotic fun of everything Wizarding World. You can even ask us live questions, and we'll try to answer them to you live while we're doing recording. So please do that. It's a lot of fun.
Yes. Oh, derail us really easily.
Oh yes. Go listen to Final Fantasy. We derail so much. So much. But mm-hmm. Other than that, that's all I have for the mid break. It's pretty short and sweet this week. Mm-hmm. Do you have anything else?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, let's get right back to it.
All right.
See, I love that sound. I'm going to keep that sound at least. Mm-hmm. The other sounds, like, I can replace that one.
We could work something in.
I'll figure something. But nonetheless, now we jump to 1985. So in the 95, Dobby took upon himself to decorate the room requirement, the classroom for Dumbledore's army, with mistletoe and 100 golden ornaments, mm-hmm. bearing Harry's face in the words, Have a very hairy Christmas.
It's so innocent. I love it.
Because Dobby. And that's the other thing I'm super excited to see once they actually start pumping out the seasons for the HBO mm-hmm. series. We'll get more Dobby. Like, the films didn't do him justice. He's in Chamber of Secrets, and we don't see him again until Deathly Hallows Part 1, the very end of that movie. And he's in the books. Like, literally going forward after Prisoner of Azkaban, he's in the books on a regular basis.
Yeah, I can't wait to see the House Elves get more in the show, even with just their roles. Mm-hmm. I do feel like it was kind of skipped over with the movies.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and a lot of characters were skipped over with the films because, I mean, you can only do so much in a 2 hour span. Two and a half hour span, come with a book that can easily fill up 10 plus hours of live screen. So
yeah, absolutely.
Like, I was watching the Graham Norton show and saw a clip of Daniel Radcliffe and the actress who played Professor Sprout. She was only in two mm-hmm. films. She was only in Chamber of Secrets and Deathly Hallows Part 2.
Oh, she was in Part 2, wasn't she?
Mm-hmm. The very end. But that's the only time we have Professor Sprout.
Yeah.
But she
she's such a joyous woman.
She is. Ben, and you find out through that interview, there was a swear jar on set. And Daniel Radcliffe had no idea because he's like, oh, I wouldn't swear in front of you, but the other kids, that's a different story.
Yeah, it's fine.
He's like, yeah, he's the lead. Why would you swear in front of the lead? And then Dobby also decorated sometime before the DA had their last meeting on the term of the evening. evening of Wednesday, December 18th, in the fifth year, Harry intended to go to the Burrow, but spent Christmas at Grimwald Place. Harry also visited Arthur at St. Mungo's while he healed from Nagini's attack. Mm-hmm. And this is also the scene when he goes sees Arthur Weasley in the hospital. This is also where we see the return of Gilderoy Lockhart. Because he's in St. Mungo's.
Sorry, I'm not jumping for joy.
No, no one is. No. If you like Lockhart, okay. I'm sorry.
You're a special kind of person.
Whoa, shots fired. anyway, jumping ahead to 1996. Mm-hmm. So before the Christmas holidays officially began, Professor Slughorn threw a Christmas party for members of Slug Club and their guests. To the dismay of Remedia, Vane, and other admirers of the Chosen One, Harry attended the party with Luna Lovegood. Hermione brought Cormac McLaggen to annoy Ron. Also in attendance was Professor Snape, Professor Trelawney, and a waitstaff of house elves.
Mm-hmm.
Hermione left Cormac under the mistletoe and kept avoiding him. Harry excused himself from conversation with a man that would have liked to write his biography, but soon ended up talking to a drunk and bitter Trelawney. Oh. Which, that sounds interesting on itself.
Her, I would think her gift would definitely be nullified at that point. It would just be all personality.
Mm-hmm.
Of her splendid personality at that point.
I don't know how to feel about this. Slughorn praised Harry's potion skills, and Snape was suspicious. The awkward party interaction went for a while, then Filch, with Draco in tow, disrupted the party and explained that Draco claimed they had been invited to the party. Draco then admitted that he wasn't invited, and Slughorn favored leniency and said Draco could stay, but Snape took Draco out of the Slughorn's abnormally large and decorated office, and Harry put on his invisibility cloak and followed them.
Yes.
Which is also, I think, was this after, I can't remember, this is when they have that duel in the bathroom. Was this after this? I want to say it was.
I thought it was before.
Might have been before. I'm pretty sure it was after. I can't remember. Mm. Correct me if I'm wrong in the Discord.
Yeah.
In his sixth year, Harry spent Christmas at the Burrow with the Weasleys, Fleur Delacour, and Remus Lupin. Since Harry, Ron, and Hermione did not return to Hogwarts for their seventh year, as then hunting for Tom Riddle's Horcruxes, he and Hermione spent the Christmas Eve in Godric's Hollow, while Ron spent Christmas with Bill and Fleur at Shell Cottage.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's fun.
Yeah.
Joyous. And then now we jump to the 2020. Mm-hmm. So we're getting recent years. In 2020, when Albus Potter and Scorpius Malfoy were using the time turner, or true time turner, in a disastrous attempt to bring Cedric Diggory back to life, Professor McGonagall punished them in lieu of expulsion by a magnitude of detention and complete removal of their privileges and holidays, and Christmas included.
She canceled Christmas.
Yes. This is why you don't upset McGonagall.
She canceled Christmas.
She will cancel everything. But this is also, this is part of the play of Cursed Child, which I need to go see because it's now being actually performed in theaters across the U.S. now. Not just on Broadway anymore. And it's actually been approved for school plays now going forward.
Yes.
So school plays can actually now do a Harry Potter play, which is awesome. Don't mess with time. Because if you go watch this play, because this play is, Scorpius and Albus makes such a mess in like. Make so many different alternate timelines, and it's bad.
Yeah,
just to bring Cedric back to life, and it's like honestly, like just doing one little thing in the past will set off a freaking domino effect.
It's called the butterfly effect.
Butterfly effect.
Yes, don't mess with past. If any of you are listening because you time traveled back, don't touch anything. Go home.
Mm-hmm. You want to mess with time, go to the future, because that won't do anything.
Absolutely. Yeah. It does make a difference to us.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You can mess things forward in time, not backwards in time.
Weird concept.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So now we have students who choose to stay at Hogwarts Castle or return home for the holidays, which began shortly before Christmas Day, and in sometime after New Year's Day, the professor generally went among the students, making a list of those who wanted to stay for the winter holidays. A notable occasion upon which the majority of the students stayed at Hogwarts for Christmas was in 1994, when Hogwarts hosted the Triwizard Tournament and the Yule Ball held on Christmas Day. Harry Potter's first Christmas at Hogwarts in 1991 had been far the best Christmas he ever had. Which, no. I mean, makes sense because he lived with the Dursleys.
Yes, and we all agree that that's not good at all for anybody.
No, God, no.
No,
but I will say Dudley does get better the older he got.
He does. He redeems himself.
And I hated they took that scene out. There's a deleted scene in the Filhallows Part 1 where when the Dursleys are leaving Privet Drive and Harry stays behind because they're going to try and, you know, get away from Harry to protect them. Vernon tells Dudley, asks, "Oh, why isn't Harry coming?" And it's like, "Oh, well, he's just, you know, he's not." And Harry responds like, "Oh, I'm just a waste of space, right, Vernon?" And he's like, it makes Vernon question. It's like, really?
Yeah.
And Dudley literally mans up and says, "I don't think you're a waste of space," and like shakes his hand. I was like, that is such a character. Like after the events of Order of the Phoenix, when Dudley gets attacked by the Dementor, his attitude does a complete 180.
It does. Like, I think he actually finally realizes that Harry isn't just making this up. This is a real thing. He sees the actual implications of Harry's life, and it's wild. I do like his redemption.
I feel like also that because the trauma he had from the Dementor, even though he couldn't see the Dementor, part of himself left him, and I think that might have like lifted something off of him.
Took some of the. But that's the just, anger,
you know, that just way. That's just my opinion.
That's just a theory.
Yeah, that's just my opinion. That's my headcanon. last but not least, we do have some behind the scenes. So in the film adaptation of Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, it is on Christmas that Bellatrix Lestrange and Finnegan Greyback initiated the burning of the barrow. However, this contradicts the turn of events in the book, where Harry Potter spent the time of the day being interrogated by Rufus Scrimgeour instead of pursuing Death Eaters, and cannot be considered canon. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's a lot of events in the films that are like much different in the books, which the books are canon.
Yeah.
The films are an adaptation of the books.
Yes. Listen to the books.
Yeah. Listen to the books. The books are great. Audio version's great.
They're so good.
The PS1 video game adaptation of Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, the parcel containing the Cloak of Invisibility sent by Dumbledore, is delivered by Hedwig to Harry on the Hogwarts attic. Peeves steals the parcel and then forces Harry to race across the various roof beams to see who is fastest. If Harry wins, Peeves will throw Harry's parcel back to him. Yeah, I hated that.
He just wants a friend.
Some of the stuff they did in the PS1 game of that was just weird. Especially, like, I just saw a clip of the troll scene where the troll, like, you're running from the troll and somehow there's, like, green acid flowing in the freaking halls of Hogwarts. And I was like, why am I jumping over these pits of acid?
What?
Makes no sense. But it's a game, so there's that too.
Yeah, but that is not canon.
No, it's not. No, the only game that is canon, actually, three games that are canon: Hogwarts Legacy,
yes,
Harry Potter Hogwarts Mystery,
oh,
and Harry Potter Hogwarts What the new one that's out? The second mobile game. Oh shoot.
You know, and I just read an article.
Magic Awakened.
I just read an article saying that the storyline of that one is on par with Legacy. Like, it's a really, really good story.
Magic Awakened?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, it takes place during the aftermath of the fall of Voldemort and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard that the story was really good. It was an article that I was reading. I was like, well, maybe I'll have to
essentially
get past the card part of it.
The game essentially fills in the gaps between Deathly Hallows and Cursed Child, essentially.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Fills in some of the gaps. Alrighty. Not all of them, but some of the gaps.
Some of them. Okay.
And then in Harry Potter Hogwarts Mystery, during Jacob Sibling's research on the Weasley family, might have liked a Christmas as a present, the student interviewed Professor Snape and revealed that he liked a quiet snowfall on Christmas Eve.
I can see that. Sitting there stirring up his potion, staring out the window, watching that snowfall, and it's quiet.
And thinking of the Lily.
Kids bothering him. Thinking of Lily. That's him.
Yep.
That's absolutely him.
So, yeah, that's what we have on Christmas in Hogwarts. Or at Hogwarts.
At
Hogwarts. Yes. Which is a lot of fun. Also, this is nothing to do with the topic of On Hand, but so if anybody doesn't know, Universal announced that they have a third expansion coming, park, mm-hmm. coming to Universal Florida. It is set to open in 2025, which is next year.
Ooh. Yes.
Fun fact, when I thought, like, the stuff I saw was reported last year, I was like, oh, okay, cool, it's going to take some time for them to build and whatnot. And then I just recently saw, oh, it's going to open in 2025. It's like, oh, that's quick. And then I've seen drone shots. Like, people are literally filming it being built. It's literally like a quarter way built.
Jeez. Like, how they're using drones.
My gosh. Is it cool? So, this is the park where the Super Nintendo Land is going to be. This is that was the main reason of the expansion to having a third park at Universal Florida.
Yeah.
Specifically for the Super Mario expansion.
Yes.
But they're adding a lot of DreamWorks stuff. So How to Train Your Dragon is going to get its own theme.
Yeah, I need to go.
They were already testing rides, which had I'm trying to think of Astrid's dragon. What type of dragon it is. I can't remember. I can't remember what it's called on the top of my head. But anyway, there's a How to Train Your Dragon theme park. I'm assuming they're going to expand more with Shrek. Because the billboard of the park has Shrek, Donkey, and some other character I can't remember.
It's a Natter dragon, by the way. Stormfly.
Natter.
He's a big old head and eyeballs.
With a lot of spikes.
No.
That's so great.
Cute.
They're adding a third expansion to the Wizarding World stuff. So it's going to get us a third expansion. It's going to set in Paris, France with the Fantastic Beasts stuff. But that's not all. So each theme park is going to have a giant monument to locate it so you know where it is. And the Wizarding World one is a hand with the Elder Wand.
Oh,
and it's a big golden hand with a gold Elder Wand in it. Really cool.
That's so cool.
And it's been reported they're building the Ministry of Magic.
Ooh.
And supposedly it's going to be a ride similar to like how the Hogwarts Castle is its own ride.
Oh. This is like Christmas all in itself with you giving me this information. I'm going to start saving up money and going to Florida.
I mean, I have a trip planned to go to Florida this year for Universal. And I'm just like, crap.
So you missed it by a year.
Do I wait another year to go? And then I got me thinking, I'll do Universal this year, so, you know, get a refresh, and, like, haven't gone in a decade, so I really need to go, because I haven't experienced after the expansion where they actually did a lot more. And then next year, I do a Disney trip. And then the following year, I do a Universal trip where all that hype and everything has died down.
Just enough so it's not overcrowded.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because that's what you're getting at. What I did. That's why, like, when I went to Disney back in 2021. Yeah, it was 2021 because Galaxy's Edge was just opened up in 2020 in Florida. So I waited a year for the crowds and everything to die down on that.
Ooh.
So that's
like going
there you go.
Six Flags on like a Tuesday.
Six Flags still exist?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
What? We don't have one in Ohio. We had one. It got shut down forever ago.
Oh no, yeah, there's one in Gurnee in Illinois. It's a
what?
Like a hour and a half, 2 hour drive from where I'm at. Yeah. Like I could still go. I mean,
we have Cedar Point, so
yeah, you do have Cedar Point. But then there's like Six Flags, there's like Knoxbury Farm, which I'm not even sure if those are still going or anything. I remember going to those as a kid. But yeah, if you go on like a Tuesday, like it's the best. You can get to every ride in that park by lunch.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah, because it's just nobody comes on a Tuesday afternoon, like especially like right when school's starting up or right before school starts up and everything. Oh yeah, it's a good time to go.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well,
keep that in mind.
That's all we have for this week. A lot of awesome news that I found and super excited for. If anybody hasn't gone to Universal, I highly recommend it. Even though I haven't experienced the new expanded stuff to the Wizarding World parks, it's still a lot of fun. I am planning to do they have a Wizarding World vacation package, which is really cool, which I will be doing.
Ooh.
Because you get, I always, when I go to any, like, theme parks, I stay at a resort with the theme park because it's much more accommodating and you don't have to worry about, doing Uber or anything like that because they have bus
services. Yeah, travel's pretty good. Yeah.
Travel is perfect for it.
Absolutely.
But, like, you get a free breakfast at the Leaky Cauldron, the Three Broomsticks. You get a ice cream flight at the ice cream shop that I cannot remember its name on the top of my head. To get, like, a special, like, photo button pass things they do. Yeah.
Nice. Yep, I know what I'm asking for Christmas.
Yeah. It'll be epic. And get an interactive wand. When you're down there, go to Ollivander's because then you can interact with the entire park. Oh, and I found this out. Go to Gringotts because you can actually get legitimate galleons and use them in the park as currency.
Oh my gosh. What an experience. This whole thing's literally an experience.
It's awesome. And if you don't use them, you keep them.
I love that. I want to know what the...
Like, when I go to Galaxy's Edge at Disney, they have a thing you can buy at the Droid Depot. It's called a Black Spire, or Black Outpost Spire. The Spira, which is the currency on the outpost, you can buy, and it's a reloadable gift card. It's metal. It's full-on metal, and they scan it by a barcode.
I like that. I like that they do that. It makes it a lot easier.
It makes it a collectible and usable at the same time.
Absolutely. That's good stuff.
And the park workers, they're all immersed in character. So they actually like respond to, oh, you're paying Inspire today. And I was like, well, can you take Republic credits? It's like, no, we don't accept credits here. And I was like, dang it. It's like, you will accept credits. It's like, no, you're not a Jedi. It's like, dang it.
Darn it.
Right. So... super excited when I can do that. I can do paying galleons in Diagon Alley and Hogsmeade. That'd be awesome. But yeah, that's all I have. Anything else you want to add to this week's episode, Nina?
Just my question.
Oh, that's right. We have the question.
Yes.
Oh, yes. What was last week's question?
So last week's question was, what task does Molly Weasley set for the twins and Ron that Harry joins after they had broken him out of the Dursleys with the flying board, Angela? So we all know that you know it because we were talking about it last week afterwards, but I did get a response in Discord from Kay Allen, and they said the dishes. Now, I would absolutely hate to do the dishes, although we do see in the movies she uses magic to wash dishes.
This is true.
I just need that in my life. I need that in my life so bad. But it is not the dishes. But thank you, Kay Allen, for sending your response. But the answer, Ben, I will give you it to you. What task does Molly Weasley set them to do?
De-gnoming. You de-gnome the yard. And the best, like, I knew this specifically, one from the books, it's in the book. But specifically remembering playing Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets on the original Xbox, that is literally one of the first things you do in the game, is you de-gnome the garden at the Weasley's Burrow, where you literally pick up gnomes and freaking shot put them, like, across the yard. It's freaking hilarious.
It's got to be a great way to get some aggravation out. But there was a little extra trivia, and it kind of has to do with Christmas. The Muggle garden gnomes, something Ron said. Yeah, I've seen those things. They are gnomes, Ron said, bent doubled with his head in the puny bush, like fat little Santa Clauses with fishing rods. That's how we describe our garden gnomes.
Oh my
as Muggles.
God, that is hysterical.
Fat little, and he's not wrong. I mean,
oh my God.
Even... Yeah, he's definitely not wrong. Even the gnomes that you can find now, they're more beard, nose, and hat than anything else. But it's absolutely what they are. Yes. So that's the answer. And if you played, thank you. But for this week, it's also going to kind of go with the Christmas theme. We had mentioned it we talked about it a while back. So if you've been listening, you might be able to remember what it is. But what dark magical being is present at Professor Slughorn's Slug Christmas party? And we did not mention it in this episode. I made sure of it, so you can't rewind.
You can't rewind it in this episode. Sorry.
No. But if you know what it is, if you know what dark magical being is present at Professor Slughorn's Slug Christmas party, go ahead and shout out your answer in Discord. I'll post it again when we post the episode, or respond in a Spotify comment, and we will do our best to shout you out. But that's the question I got this week.
Yep. And you can't go back to the original episode that I did this on, because it's not on the feed anymore. If you do, you can go back on, go to join us on Patreon, and you can go and listen to the original.
All right. Well, then there you go. You can't cheat at all.
Nope.
Well, I guess
sorry.
You could with Google, but that's no fun.
That is no fun. Yeah, don't do that.
No.
But yeah, that's what we have for this week. Thank you, Nina. For posing the trivia question. I just, the denoming. I, like, as soon as you said it, it's like, yes, I know this one.
Yes. The denoming is really good. And I do appreciate the extra trivia from Bjarne from Denmark. I do like that about the Santa Clauses. Thank you.
Yeah. Appreciate that too. So thank you for listening to the Wizarding World Lorecast. And remember, the wand chooses the witch or wizard.
Thank you for listening. Wizarding World Lorecast. You can find us on the Robots Radio Discord at robotsradio.net. You can follow us on Twitter at www.lorecast, and you can email us at wizardingworldlorecast@gmail.com.